Welcome. This is Extraordinary, brought to you by the American Business Institute of Success and Prosperity. I'm your host, Darren Ray.
Hello and welcome. We're talking today about teams, number three in our three-part series of introducing the key to success in any adventure, which is dream, scheme, and team. Today is part three, team. The definition of team is a group of people that come together as a team to achieve a common goal. So imagine putting yourself in everything that you're doing together with a team to achieve that goal. How much easier would it be than trying to get there on your own? If you're trying to lose weight, you join a team of people striving to be healthy or to exercise in a certain way, whether it's Pilates or whether it's yoga or whatever it may be. It's easier when you join a team because of several reasons. You get the help, you get the support, you get the accountability. You want to surround yourself with people whose strengths offset your weaknesses. If you're terrible at discipline, you want to surround yourself with somebody who is good at discipline, who will help you do the things that you want to do, but sometimes lack the desire or motivation. I learned that when I was playing racquetball. We were committed, my partner and I, we were committed to meeting every other morning for racquetball. And there were some mornings that I did not want to be on the racquetball court at 6 a.m. But I had that commitment. I had that schedule. And I knew that he was counting on me. And it made it much easier to do. As such, I got not only very good, but very healthy having that kind of exercise. And so having that partner, he was good for my team. Team is spelled T-E-A-M. One of my favorite acronyms is to take that word T-E-A-M and interpret it as together everyone achieves more. That's the concept. Together can always do more than one person can do alone. Now, there may be people out there who think differently. There are those who buy into the idea if you want it done right, do it yourself. But that's just because they don't have the right team. Henry Ford had the best team. He hired to his weaknesses. He hired engineers smarter than him in their field. And there's a great story of a news reporter asked him, he was giving him trouble, saying, "Mr. Ford, you're not all that smart. You're not all that great." And Henry Ford said, "Ask me any question you like." And so the interviewer posed a question. Ford picked up the phone and said, "Would you come in here, please?" And a man came in the room and Henry Ford said to him, "Answer this man's question." That is a good team. Now, whether you're an individual, employed at a good job, member of a family, or you have a family of your own, we still need teams. At the simplest level, a family or an individual would need doctors or dentists and an insurance agent, for instance, on their team. Someone who's a little further down the road, has a little more wealth to manage or maintain, might need an accountant, at the very least, somebody to help with taxes, but an accountant, maybe a lawyer to help with their will or building a living trust, and finally, perhaps a financial planner that can help protect their investments or guide them in their investment portfolio. Because there's no way for us to know everything. What we want to do is surround ourselves with people who specialize in the things that we don't know. And that's what constitutes our team. We also have around us different groups of people. We have our friends, our relatives, our associates, and the people in our network. Everybody has these people in their lives, some more, some less. Now, if you are a self-employed person or if you have a business of your own, you also have a C group called your customers. So together, that's what we call a Frank circle. Your friends, your relatives, your associates, your network, and your customers. If you're in business, there are seven teams that you need to work on, to build, and to lean on for your success. The first one is the C-suite. Your C-suite has four primary components of individuals: the leadership portion, the finance portion, the marketing portion, or the operations portion. Those four players constitute at a minimum, your team. Now, if you're doing all of those all alone, that's gonna A, limit you because you only have so much time in a day, and B, limit you because you only have so much knowledge of those different areas. Ideally, what you want to do is you want to build yourself a C-suite and sit in the seat you belong in, wear the hat that best fits you, and then bring the others around you in one way or another. And we can talk about number two, of course, in business, you've got your customers. That's a group, an important part of your team. Without customers, you don't have a business. You have a good idea. Group number three are your vendors. These are the people that provide for you goods and services so that you can in turn provide goods and services to your customers. You want good relationships with these vendors, and you want to be able to select the best vendors for what you need. Number four are power partners. Power partners are those who are servicing the same group of people you are, the same customer base, with a complementary product or service to yours. These aren't your competitors, but these are people who, again, service the same customer base with a different and complementary product or service. Power partners are great to work with. Number five, these are your advocates or your raving fans. Now, these people can come from anybody in your Frank circle or anywhere in your relationships. The thing that sets this group apart is that these are people who believe in you so much, they can't help but talk about you. These are your raving fans. We'll talk more about all of these in future episodes. We'll dive into each of these more deeply. Number six are your mentors. These are the people who have been there, done that, whom you look to for guidance to avoid the landmines that they've already stepped on, whether they know it, whether it's formal or not. These are the people to whom you've decided to look for mentorship and guidance in making the best decisions in your business. You need a good team of mentors. And number seven, of course, are your employees. Oftentimes we make the mistake of hiring employees based on the job that needs to be done. And one of the things that we teach at ABI is that a job is a skill that can be taught. What is hard and can't be taught is character. And you want to get the right kind of person in the right seat as an employee. And again, we'll delve into that in much greater detail in future episodes. Gary Keller from Keller and Williams Real Estate, in his book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, had a great graphic that describes the levels of our relationships. Think, if you would, of a target with a dot in the middle and then rings that spread out. Put yourself in the middle as the individual. In this case, the real estate investor is that person in the middle. And he describes the concentric rings as different levels of relationship. The closest in ring, the inner circle, if you will, are the consultants and the partners and the mentors for that investor. The second ring out, or next level of people that he needs on his team, would be attorneys, lenders, investors, contractors, property managers. The next ring out would be landscapers, perhaps, appraisers, inspectors, appliance rentals, electricians, painters, plumbers, roofers, and so forth. So somebody who wants to build a good team needs to know what players he needs on his team, what those qualities need to be, the qualifications, and build that team with intentionality. We call that building your business or your life by the numbers. When I was a kid, I had a paint by numbers set. I hope you had one too. And it was interesting because I didn't know how to paint, but I could take the paint from the little bucket of paint that had the number on it and put it in the places in the blobs on the picture where the number said to go. So I did that. And then when I stepped back, it was an amazing painting that I could not have done on my own because I followed the numbers. We teach at ABI, we teach to do business and life by the numbers because it takes out the emotion. It takes out the things that tend to hold us back because the numbers don't lie. Unless you're an accountant and tweak the numbers, but generally speaking, the numbers don't lie. And you want to take out the subjectivity and the emotion to say what needs to be done, what is the right way to go forward, and make those decisions intelligently. Not to disparage one's gut, one's intuition, but it's a matter of becoming enough deliberate to make those right decisions. So there are five stages of relationships, and those stages are level one. These are the folks that have a virtual or personal knowledge of you. This is where the influencers live. This is where mass marketing lives. This is about letting the world know you're there. These are people that may know you exist at work, but don't really know you. Level two are people that are willing to spend time with you. For one reason or another, they've gotten to know you a little better. And if you were to say, hey, would you like to get a cup of coffee? They'd be delighted to come. Level three, those are the people who recognize that there are potential benefits of spending time with you. It's like, hey, I'd really like to get together. Had a good time with you the other night. Let's do something. Let's get our families together for a picnic or a barbecue or something like that. These are the people that understand that there are benefits of spending time with you. Level four are those that are at a level to contribute. They're happy to help. They know you well enough. They have enough trust. They have enough interest in your well-being that they're willing to offer, how can I help? And they're glad to be able to provide a service or lend a helping hand when asked. But the best, the epitome of a relationship, the closest that we can get to in any relationship is a level five. And these are those for whom giving is elevated above gain. That it's more important for them to give to you than what they may think that they might get back. This is a level of love. This is charity in its truest sense. This is how a good parent views their children. These are the friends who you can call on if you're thrown into a Mexicali jail unjustly, and they'll come and get you and bail you out. Most of us can only handle, at max, 20 relationships of that type. It takes a lot of invested effort, time, and energy to maintain those relationships. If we don't, those relationships drift apart. Now, I hope any of you are thinking in terms of your significant other, in terms of those relationships. If you both have the attitude of giving above getting, you will have a rock-solid relationship. And if you don't foster that relationship, and we can talk about these things at length in another episode, but if you don't foster those relationships, you will drift apart, and those numbers will start dropping down to 4, 3, 2, 1. Or 0, no contact at all. Relationships need to be maintained, and they take work. So let's look at how we tend to build these relationships over time. And you can look back at your own life, but we've looked at averages, and this is kind of how things average out. In the first decade of a career, you may have one or two friends that you develop in the first 10 years of your 40-year career. You may have another 3 or 4 friends that you develop in the next decade. And in the third decade, another 3 maybe. And then the fourth decade, now you've got 5 really close friends. It's taken you 40 years to find and develop relationships with these 14 people with whom you are the closest outside of your family or maybe even part of your family. When you work by the numbers, when you're intentional about it, and you're focusing on finding and building those relationships, you can have the same 14 in as little as 1 to 2 years, if you're intentional about it. You're going to have 14 because you're just going to bump into them over a 40-year period. Or you can be deliberate and intentional and get the same result in a year or two. Now, the reason that's important is because those people become, again, at level 5, willing to give above gain, give above get. Those are the people that are going to help you the most get to where you want to go, whatever that goal may be. These are the people who care about your achieving, your success, maybe even more than you do. So the sooner you build those relationships, the sooner you're going to be able to use the advantages of a team to get to where you want to go. We've talked a lot about teams. A team is the people who come together to achieve a common goal. Together, everyone achieves more. There are 7 business teams. There are 5 groups of people in your Frank circle, and there are 5 levels of relationships. If you were to start going through your contact list and applying numbers to them, this vendor, how do they rate based on what I think an ideal vendor ought to be on a scale of 1 to 100? My friends, my associates, my relatives, what is that relationship? Do they just know I exist? Is this a cousin that has met me once? I know they're out there. Or is this a cousin with whom I'm very, very close? Start rating your relationships to see where you really are. And I think you'll find that there's room for improvement. And so what we want to do is make part of your plan, part of your scheme, to develop those teams.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, please follow us on social media. Subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Extraordinary by ABI, and I'm your host, Aaron Ray.